Hello, my beautiful angel besties, and welcome back to the podcast, Sip Bittersweet Tea. This is an episode that would be hard to not be emotional. So, in advance, I'm sorry if I'm crying. But like I have always said, I want to keep this podcast as real and raw and as close to what honesty should look like and feel like and sound like, and being vulnerable with God. And I just want to be vulnerable with you guys and just show you the goodness of God's grace and love, and that it's okay to be emotional, especially with a topic as heavy as today's. So let's jump on in and sip on the tea of life that sometimes is bitter, but it can be so sweet when we add Jesus. So I want to start off, before I pray, with a little verse from Luke 8:22-25. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." So before I dissect this passage, I'm going to pray for us. Dear Lord, I'm praying for those who are grieving or have gone through a period of grief, because it is such a beautiful experience, and at the moment it just feels so hard. It feels like, why do I have to go through something so hard, Lord? I understand the trials and tribulations, but at the end, it's just so, so beautiful, because you can calm the waters, calm the storm, Lord, if we just look to you, if we have our faith and our eyes set on you, Lord. So God, we just thank you for your grace, for your humility, for your love, for your kindness. God, we just... it's such a beautiful way to show God's love and compassion, is by going through these trials, Lord. In times of sorrow, it can be comforting for us to know that others, like myself, are lifting you up in prayer, lifting them up in prayer. God, I ask that your presence surround them, surround me in this room, Lord, so that your words just, they're speaking to them, Lord, that you're speaking through me, God, that I'm asking that you offer comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that we all may feel your love and your tender care in the midst of our pain. I pray for our strength and for us to endure the difficult emotions that come with grief, and for the healing in our hearts as we all navigate the season. Lord, your love is spoken through your promises of never leaving nor forsaking us, which is Hebrews 13:5, and your ability to bring beauty from ashes, Isaiah 61:3. Lord, I pray for a deep sense of your love to fill all of our hearts, reminding us that we are all precious in your sight, Lord. Isaiah 43:4. Lord, I'm just please speak through me, and please let everyone know that they're not alone if they're grieving or they have grieved, Lord, or they've been through a grievance or they haven't grieved yet, Lord, just let them know that you are there whenever they're ready. And when we lose hope or we go through something traumatic, that we just call out to you, we reach out to you, Lord. God, because you're just that close to us. God, I pray this in your amazing and wonderful name, and I seal this prayer with an amen. So, when we lose this hope, or we go through something, like a grievance, something just so traumatic, we tend to fall back into patterns. Or we rely on ourselves and our own understanding, and it's just, we look for these answers for healing, and we end up suppressing our emotions or acting out, like acting so out of pocket, so ridiculous, where people are like, brother, ooh, calm down, you know. And yeah, today's episode is on grief. Grief is the anguish experienced after significant loss, usually the death of a beloved person. Grief often includes physiological distress, separation anxiety, confusion, yearning, obsessive dwelling on the past, and apprehension about the future. I don't know if you're like me, but I deal with like obsessive thoughts. I was never diagnosed with OCD, but I do have like tendencies. I think it might be the ADHD that I have. But yeah, it's definitely, it's a lot, you know? So I'm no expert, but I'm gonna give just simple advice and just take what you can from this and let the Lord do the rest. So I wrote down like, how long is the grieving process? And I feel like this varies, you know, depending on the situation and how you deal with it. How do you want to handle it? When do you want to handle it? How do you want to get started? You know, do you want to only feel a little at a time? Or this can stretch out for a few months or years? Or do we shove it down until we feel like, okay, I can always go back when I'm ready in a few years? Or do we try and take it on now and try to feel all the stages of grieving so that we overwhelm ourselves and become so burnt out that we can't even carry on? There's no right answer. I think it's just trusting in the Lord and just putting your faith into Him, and He'll guide you. But there's just ways of coping with it, you know. Like, we have to remain patient, and like, we definitely should be willing to feel these emotions when we can, and not push them away or hide from them or try to do this on our own. We need Jesus in this time of need, and patience is His time to shine. It's when we need Him. He is near. He wants us. He needs us to need Him. He is calm and ready to love on us and show us how powerful He is, and how in our time of need and struggle, He thrives. You know, I mentioned the stages of grief, and I just wanted to go over a few. It's best to not try to rush these. I feel like naturally, they'll come when they need to, and not when we want them to. When God feels we are ready to enter into a new stage, He will not give us more than we can handle. So, let me just look them up, because I think I forgot to write them down, honestly. But the stages of grief, are, so there's the initial shock, where it's just like, this is not real. I can't believe it. Are you kidding me? Like, why? What happened? What did I do? Like, it's just so much at once, and you're just like, either frozen or you're blaming yourself or you're just like, you feel guilty or just become numb. Then the next stage is denial. So you're like, that didn't happen. No, like, that's not real. This is not happening. It's, if I don't believe it, it's just, it's not there. It's, I'm not dealing with it, you know. Anger, just being so aggressive, like, with your words, or if you're being physical in any way, just not being able to express anything or handle it, so you just feel it all at once, and you know how anger feels if you don't, like, it's a terrible emotion, it's just so overbearing, and we have bargaining, which is, like, back and forth, like, kind of the guilty feelings coming back, and you're like, is this happening? Did I do it? Did I do this? Do I deserve this? Like, I can't handle it. No. And just bargaining your emotions, like, going back and forth and back and forth, and just in such utter despair or shock or anger, and it's just going back and through the motions. And we have depression, which is, it's so heavy. You're just so lost in all of the emotions that you're just completely numb, where you just don't want to heal, you just want to be frozen in time, you want to go back, you're saying, I wish I had more time, or whatever it may be, you know, you're just so depressed and so low, and you don't want to get out of bed, and you don't want to feel, and then there's testing, where, you're trying to find solutions, like, that offer a means of dealing with loss. And this is, like, the time where most people are, like, going, like, reverting back to, like, depression or anger, denial or shock or bargaining. You're just so, like, okay, well, I need to come up with a solution to get over this, and if I can't, like, and then you just, I feel like it's just so much, like, so much going on, like, you're trying to push forward, and the enemy is telling you, like, no, you can't do this, and you can't do this alone, and I'm telling you this, like, you really need God, or you need a friend, or a close friend, you need God, and you need a community of people you can just vent to. And when I mentioned I had obsessive thoughts, I tend to, like, why me, like, over and over and over and over again. And it's just like, if you need to vent to someone, like, my husband and I are venting to each other about this situation, and we're going back and forth and back and forth, like, I did this, like, if this would have happened, then this wouldn't have happened, or if we did this, then it didn't have to do this, and it's just, like, you know, like, yeah, you're trying to deal with this loss, and this testing period is so back and forth, and it's really trying to, like, test you into the next step, which is acceptance, which is the final stage of the grieving process. And acceptance doesn't mean, like, oh, I'm okay forever, like, I don't have to deal with this anymore ever again. And I feel like a lot of people are like, I accept it, it's time to move on, I'm never gonna think about it, I'll be perfect, like, nothing will ever happen again in my life, blah blah blah. And it's just like, that sounds amazing, like, but as humans, we have to deal with these trials. And you know, I just, even dealing with this loss and this grievance, it's, definitely making me stronger, and I am leaning more on the Lord and not myself and my husband, and we're praying, and you know, like, it's definitely brought us closer to God, and we're starting to accept it, but we're definitely, I don't think we're there yet, you know, I don't think we're there, and it might, like, I don't know how long it'll be, you know, but, we're not gonna feel okay. Like, it'll definitely make us sad thinking about it in the future, but it'll definitely, like, give us the healing and peace that we deserve, and if we just keep looking towards Jesus, we'll definitely get there sooner than we think. As long as we're just not staying in that bargaining stage of, I don't want to go through this anymore. Can you just, like, God, please take this away. Like, just take this pain away so I don't have to deal with any emotions, or I don't have to feel, or I don't have to think, and, you know, so I think we're in that stage where we're definitely feeling guilty, and I feel like bargaining comes with feeling guilt at the same time, and yeah, acceptance is just realizing the loss is our new reality, and that's, it's just so hard. It's like, how do you live with it now, you know? But eventually we will get there, and we'll realize that we're okay, and we need to understand that life will not continue the way it did before, and that's okay, because it will go on, and it's going to be different, and it's going to take patience and a lot of, like, leaning on God, you know? So yeah, I wanted to do a lot of research for this, just because for my own healing benefits, but I also wanted to keep you all informed if you're dealing with anything like this, or you have, or like I said, like, you're taking some time off, or you're just pushing it aside, like, there you are. So how do we cope? Like Jesus' disciples on the boat when there was a storm and they panicked, instead of remaining calm, we should have faith, and it's easier said than done, especially if we're in that stage of, what's my fault? It's my fault, or why is this happening to me? I don't know if I can handle anymore. And my husband and I, or just our family in general, we've dealt with a lot in the past couple of years. We've lost a lot of, like, really good people. We're definitely still hurting, because we love them so much. We still love them so much. We keep their memories alive, and yeah, we just have to have the faith and get through what we need to get through. And I keep asking myself, like, am I mad at God? Because how can I look towards God and not blame him when I'm feeling this way? How can I not blame him for putting me through these things, or allowing me to go through these things? And I sound like Job, you know, where it's just like, why God, why? I was such a good person. And yeah, I'm a good person, but I'm not going to question him. You know, it could have been, I have a feeling that it was to bring Jason and I closer, our family closer as a unit, just our love for each other, guys. And I just want to tell you guys that if you're going through this, or you have, or you're not healed from it, or, like, you will be going through this, you just have put it on the back burner. Just love one another, love on your community, love your friends and family. Just keep them close, because your life can just be taken away from you in an instant. And I'm not saying, like, to be, like, dreary or anything, but I mean, We obviously did not expect this, and it was intense and a lot of like shock, a lot of denial. We've a lot of just grieving going on in this house, and it's like, can we ever be the same? Yes. Yes, we can. But we're going to allow ourselves the time and not feel so guilty, you know? I just didn't know if I was ready to record this, just because of how recent it was, but I do believe that I do need to talk to you guys and just feel connected with you guys and like love on you and just feel like love, because when I record these I feel like just so enthralled and engulfed by like God's love, and like his words just consume me and my throat like literally feels like burning, like there's something stuck in it, like a lump in my throat, because I'm speaking his truth and his love, and it's been a lot, but I'm ready to talk about it. It's not what we were expecting, so our family and I, we lost, we lost our dog. And if you knew him, oh my gosh, you were so lucky. He was so great. He was just full of like love and joy and just carefree. And I want to keep that memory alive. And I want Jason and I to just fill this home with that, so that Meadow can look up to us and be like, wow, like I remember. Or I have memories of just that dog being so wonderful. And oh yeah, he exuded so much light, and I was never a dog person, so this is my first dog. I was a cat person, I never owned a dog, and I was just like, I'm never gonna be close to a dog, but oh my goodness, he was our best friend. And I mean, he was Jason's best friend more so, and it was just traumatic. I'm gonna leave out the details, but it was traumatic, just like rushing him to the vet and watching Jason do CPR, and just, it was just awful. Like, so much emotion happened, and a lot of like, please, please God, like, please be with him. And you know, like, I got texts from Jason, like, while I was at work. It happened, on a Thursday, and, before my lunch, I had received texts from him saying, like, he was just acting a little weird, he's stumbling, like, he's panting really hard, I don't think we're gonna have as much time as we think with him. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, is this serious? Like, do I need to come home? And he's like, no, but if I FaceTime you, please, like, hurry up. And, you know, I just didn't never receive a FaceTime. I went on my lunch. I drove home and I'm panicking and I'm praying to the Lord and I'm asking him, like, please don't take him away from Jason. Like, Jason's going to be so devastated, and he is my rock and I love him so much and he's my best friend. And I don't want to see Jason that hurt, but, you know, I was like, if this is your will, and if it's his time, and if he's suffering, like, please, like, by all means, like, just, you know, just, like, let it happen, and he won't be in pain anymore. And I was just praying that, and I get home, and I park the car, and Jason's like, Loren, please, please hurry up. And, like, I couldn't run. I was sore from the gym, and I felt, like, terrible. But I was going as fast as I possibly can. I was, like, speed walking, and I ran up the stairs. I was like, okay, like, this is serious. And yeah, it's just, he was gone, and like, we had so much hope, and we were in such denial and such shock that we were like, that he's gonna make it, like, we're gonna take him to the vet. And you know, we live in Big Bear, and like, this vet is like 12 minutes away, and then we get there and it's permanently closed. You just look towards God. You don't blame him. And you don't, I mean, it's normal to do these things, you know, to be mad at him. But I just encourage, myself included, not to do this. Because, like, in Revelation 21:4, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And I just think that's so good to hold on to. That's so much hope already. The faith in God alone is just going to get you through it. That there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. And this can be in reference to when, like, we pass, or to when, like, things, worldly things, like, or, you know, like, godly things, like his animals, our pets, our friends, our family, they pass away. Life will still go on, and there will not be any more mourning. I mean, yes, we're still gonna get sad when we think about it from time to time, but he's gonna be with us. And then I wrote down Isaiah 61:1-3, which is, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. I have a few verses that just are helping me, and I hope they help you. So the next one is 1 Thessalonians 4:13, which is, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. Sorry, I'm really sweating. I'm so sorry. If you can hear my fan going, it's so hot up here. Big Bear doesn't believe in air conditioners. First world problems. I'm so sorry. So I wrote down, next one is the, oh my gosh, again, like, I'm so bad at this. So I'm just going to highlight this and see where it comes from directly in the Bible. I did this last episode and I was like, I'm going to expand on this, and I'm going to tell you where this came from, which verse this is, and I just never did, and I'm so sorry. So the next one I'm saying is John 19:25-27. And this is the story of Jesus Christ being crucified. And it starts with, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And she may have even reflected on what Simon Okay, the disciple took her to his home. The end. So I was writing like what I thought this meant. I believe that this grief filled in all of their hearts as they watched Jesus lie there on the cross, like blameless, just being so innocent, bleeding and dying, and just the most unbearable pain and death that no one could ever imagine feeling. And I just believe that it said early on that Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, were when Jesus was only 3 years old, they took Jesus to see Simon, which is he was a very devout Christian and devout follower of God. I don't think it wasn't Christian yet. Simon had said, "So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And I just feel like, imagine getting 30 years of a warning that you would be going through something that would pierce your own heart. It's like, you don't really know exactly what that means, but you got a warning. And I feel like it still wouldn't be easy to have 30 years of knowledge of, okay, someday, like, the hearts will be revealed and they're going to basically backstab someone who I love. And she probably knows deep down that he's talking about Jesus, because they brought Jesus in and he was a newborn. And like, no matter if you find out if your dad, who you love so deeply and you see him as your best friend, has cancer and only has a few months to live, or like me, your dog has a heart attack without any warning except that day, like, I feel like it all feels the same. Or even when you have a best friend for 10 years and you two are just so inseparable, but you're not meant for each other anymore, and you two go on two completely different paths, it still causes a person to grieve and to reflect. And this is where many people think, how is God just? And it's just a human instinct, like I said, to ask this, but it's not fair to our Father, who breathes air into our lungs, who knows us by name. He clothes us and loves us, and he wraps us in his grace, and we can't question it, but it doesn't stop the hurting. And many Christians may believe, because we have God, all the suffering shouldn't exist. Oh, you have depression? And you call yourself a Christian? I have heard this growing up, and that's why I left the church. I said, okay, well, but we suffer. But why do we suffer? And I feel like a question that quickly follows this is, who should we depend on to get us through our suffering? And for me, it makes perfect sense to rely and trust in the Lord Jesus. He writes our story so we have this testimony to share and to run around with, spreading the good news of Jesus, his love and his grace. In Luke 9:58-62, Jesus is teaching about the cost of following him. You know, he emphasizes the importance of wholehearted commitment and dedication to the kingdom of God. And in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 5:20 or 6:20, it says that he calls us to be ambassadors. We need to bring in those around us. We can't, you know, shame them, guilt them. You need to come to the Lord or you go to hell. Like, we can't do that. We have to be merciful and show love. And it's just like, we need to have that wholehearted commitment and dedication to the kingdom of God. Jesus literally teaches about the cost of following him. It's a lot, you know. He tells you, like, pick up your cross and follow him daily. And, you know, even in times of grievance and struggles and depression and anxiety, like, yeah, these are normal human emotions, and Jesus felt these as well. And that's why it's not, like, it's a sin, but it's just the fact that you can't live in it and you can't let it fester. You just have to keep moving. You have to exercise this and be a disciple of the Lord and walk in His love and His mercy and His grace. And you have to be willing to show people that. Like, you can't go out and someone is, you know, acting out, and or they're, like, yelling at you, or they're cussing you out, and you don't know what they're going through. Yeah, it's gonna hurt, but you have to throw the, you have to grow that thick skin, that second layer of Jesus. So, I'm gonna highlight Luke 9:58-62, so I can look it up for all y'all. Okay. It says, so Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." It's amazing, like, what he says. Sometimes I'm just like, wow, that was a little harsh, but he's not being harsh, you know? He's teaching us the cost of following him. And yeah, it's going to be hard, but he's not being harsh. He's love. He's understanding. He talks about the willingness to prioritize following Jesus above all other distractions and all other comforts in life. And this means grievance too. I mean, yeah, you can grieve, but it's just like, who's going to get you through it? It's Jesus. You just have to rely on him. You just have to follow him. You just have to be fully committed and not look back once we are chosen to follow him. Jesus highlights that following him requires sacrifice and complete devotion, even when we're faced with challenges and hardships. You know, this passage encourages us as believers to count the cost of discipleship and to be willing to let go of anything that hinders our relationship with our Father. So, I don't want to speak too long on this. I felt like, wow, this is a little too soon for me, but no, it feels right. You know, I feel like he's calling me to talk about this, to help me, to help you, and to bring his kingdom here on heaven, or here on earth, and just to give him the glory, because through this time, I'm still praising him, and I'm still loving him, and I'm getting to know him more, and I'm loving him every step of the way, and I really hope, and I hope that I'm encouraging you as well to get to know him as well, because he loves you and he just wants to know you and just wants you to know him and to trust him, because yeah, like, it's amazing to be able to, like, trust in someone who will be willing to just grab your pain and wipe your tears and hold you, but it just takes a little more than that. You have to be willing to read your Bible. And yeah, especially during this time, you're going to have to get through it somehow and some way. But the main way for me right now is God. And I know that everyone needs God. I just thank you so much for listening. I love you all so much. And I'm really sorry that I was blubbering like a little baby. But it was... Thank you for listening. I'm so appreciative that you guys come and listen every single week. I'm so sorry that it hasn't been every single week the last month or two. I'm so sorry, but I'm trying to get better, and I'm just
I'm so thankful that you guys came. Alright, girly pops and boy pops. Have a great night. Great rest of your night. And, or if you're listening in the morning, have a great rest of your day. May peace be with you. May you go in peace and love and just share the good news. Thank you all so much. Alright, bye.